actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the school of hard knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
It's Thursday. It's Plum Love Foods Live right here as we're in the middle of the dead heat of the summer as we get close to the end of the summer. It's August, Jeffy. Things are getting crazy out here. Work is getting even heavier. And I'll tell you what, the Good Brothers are still here slinging.
Listen, still here slinging, doing the bada binging. No, it just rhymed. I don't know why I threw that in
what
there.
What the fuck?
Now with my taco.
Do it wow, the bada binging. Is that what we're doing?
Hey, sorry. Bing bong.
I had to jump in there somewhere.
Well, it worked. Also joining us, of course, Chef Dan, Chef Jeffy. It's your boy, Chef Plum, right here. Plum Love Foods Live on a Thursday. Excited. We apologize again for last week. We had some technical difficulties with some equipment. But clearly, as you can tell, issues have been fixed, Jeffy.
No, you haven't ever sounded better. I'm telling you right now, I'm just loving it.
I love that. That makes me happy because I'm sitting here using technology that is not from 2012 or 2011, so that's even better.
When? The future? What?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But excited to be on the show tonight, hanging out, spend a little time talking. I'm having a little Maui Brewing Company. Shout out to Maui Brewing Company. It's delicious. Tonight on the program, our friend Benny Bass is going to join us here. He's back on tour. Kind of getting out there, playing some shows. I want to talk about that a little bit, see how COVID has been affecting it, see how the new Delta variant's affecting it. You know, because it's got to be frustrating if you're a musician, right, Dan? To be like, your life is out there playing music, and the past, you know, what, 20-whatever months, you just couldn't do it.
Yeah, absolutely, especially depending on, like, how you make your money going out and touring and being with those audiences and embracing the people out there live.
Yeah. I mean,
the way it was last year was crazy, and you know the way it's going on now, I feel like you got that jump. So hopefully it continues, and you'll continue to see more of it.
Yeah, I hope so too, Jeffy. They're still doing festivals too because, you know, it's almost like, hey, listen, we understand things are kicking up a little bit. It's coming back a little bit, but it's not as bad as it was, but it's still coming back. Do you think that we're going to see these festivals that are happening kind of start to get canceled?
I think it really depends on where they are, and I think it depends on how many people are dying. You know, it depends on how many people are going into the hospital, and how it kind of happens. I mean, right now the Delta variant is very scary, and it, you know, we haven't even gotten into flu season, so I mean, anything could happen. But I think hopefully people are getting vaccinated. We've talked about it before, and the vaccine I think is kind of helping everyone. From what I've heard, people who have been vaccinated, who've gotten sick, have gotten way less sick. It's not going to keep you from catching this Delta variant, but it hopefully will keep you from being worse
it'll
off.
Definitely, listen.
Yeah,
you still have a chance to catch it, but your chances are very low.
Yeah. And I got the J&J, and I just read that that might be the best against the variant. So I'm like out here, you know, drinking, smoking, running red lights, like fuck a Delta variant. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Well, before we get to Benny, you know, one of the biggest things, the topics out there in the world right now is being vaccinated as it comes to restaurants. And lots of places are mandating that, you know, you have to show a vaccination card to go inside of a restaurant. I know a lot of places in New York City, that's what it is now. Not a lot of places, all the places. But it's not just restaurants. It's gyms. It's theaters. It's everywhere. You have to show a vaccination card. You know, I don't want to get into whether we think that's right or wrong. But what I do want to talk about with this is, I don't know, I don't want to say the legality of it, but like the, think about the people that you've worked in restaurants with. That's where my head's at. Like, think about the people that you've been with, the hostesses, those sort of people. I mean, are these, you want to put them in charge of something else? Like, I don't understand that, Jeffy.
I just think, I mean, yeah, it's just another thing to put on the people. You know what I mean? It's like another thing to put on these restaurants that are just struggling to stay open, and you know, it's just another thing. I don't know. It makes me feel crazy. I mean, I just feel like there's so many arbitrary rules that are going around that,
right?
You know, if it is as scary as it's, everyone says, in my opinion, it's like, why are we? Like, why aren't we just attacking it in a different way? But I mean, that's a whole other conversation. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, Dan, what do you think, man? Because I just think it's insane that, I mean, imagine in your grocery store if you now have to put a door guy there to check vaccination cards.
Okay, well, even before you get there, how about the people that work for you that don't want to get vaccinated? Now you have less employees than we already have because right. Certain people feel they don't. Some people feel just as unsafe about the vaccine as the people who are vaccinated who feel unsafe about not having it. And it's not having those conversations that's been killing us. It's not like if you feel so hard about one way, research the other way and just see, you know, where you're at. But you got these people in the jobs now. They're going to say, oh, I don't want to get vaccinated. They can't be there, obviously. So they're going to have to go on. They're going to have to lose their job or whatever, you know?
It hasn't happened a lot yet, but you know it's going to.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I think we've got to be careful. We're going down a different road with this. You know, I really want to focus on the vaccine. New York City now, Dan, has mandated that restaurants can't let people in until they have their vaccination cards checked. That's
yeah,
a
and
rule
it's also
now.
Gonna how long before the employees can't work there without
That's already happening in New York City.
Yeah, that's already done. That's done in New York. You have to have a vaccine. If you are like a healthcare worker or like a whatever,
working
like
in public,
responder,
working in restaurants,
working
or
in public, yeah. Anything like that, yeah, you're supposed to have to,
you have to be vaccinated.
But supposed like to have to shit. Be not having a job if you're not are two different things.
Yo, man.
They're saying now,
like I said, I don't want to get into whether we agree with that part. I mean, we're all kind of on the same page with this, I think. I just want to know what you think about having to now put a door guy to check a vaccine card.
It's, yeah, doesn't make any sense. It's another employee that you don't have working in another spot, doing things that they need to do. We had somebody at the door. We had security at the door for the first, whatever, 9 months.
You know what, though? You know what, though? Now the greeter at Kmart has something to do. That go. Motherfucker doesn't ever do shit. You know what I mean? You walk up and you're like, hey, Dave. And he just like kind of like, you know, he doesn't actually greet you. He's not like, hey, man, how you doing?
Dave works at Kmart now?
Well, not that. Not our Dave, but just like arbitrary Dave. Just like, just Dave.
Well, here's what I think, man. I think that you're trying to put people in charge of something that, I don't know, like you can't. Because now there's going to be a fine, right? So, okay, let's say I own a restaurant in New York City and I let you come in and I don't check your vaccination card. Or let's say I do check your vaccination card. You come in, looks clean to me. I don't know. What the fuck do I know what a vaccination fake ones look like, right? And you come in and turns out you have a counterfeit vaccination card. Well, now my restaurant gets fined $10,000 because you have a fake card. And there's no way to really check that ever. There's no way that any of us would ever know. No one can scan IDs. There's nothing there
to
scan.
Well, that's not even true because in New York State, I can check. Like if you show me your vaccination card, I can take the number and check it on an app, and it'll tell me where you got your vaccine and if it's real.
So this is the tricky part. Yeah. So here's the tricky part. I don't have a vaccination card. I didn't get one.
What do you mean?
I don't have a vaccination card. I have a digital thing on my phone.
Oh, well, that's like when you can print it off of that. That's what I did.
But there's no actual card, which, you know, what mine looks like doesn't look like everybody else's. So my point is that there's so many cards that aren't going to look the same. And yes, you're right. There may be a database you could punch stuff up, you know, into. But do you really want your 17-year-old hostess to do that?
Listen, I trust a 17-year-old hostess to be able to punch a couple numbers into the phone and do that.
But they're not going to.
Well, if it's their job, they will. I mean, they should. I mean, I just feel like, I mean, it sucks, and I think it's a bullshit rule, but it's like, I just want things to go back to normal, so I'm like, just sure, whatever. You know what? If you got to keep restaurants open, you want us to check vaccination cards, fine, whatever.
Well, how about the state provides someone to each building to do that, then?
Hmm.
This is what I just don't get. Like, people equate it to checking IDs for alcohol, that sort of thing. You know, it's not the same.
Yeah. Dave's chiming in here on the chat saying that, like, he got vaccinated and it hasn't even shown from New York State. It doesn't show up in the computer, and he has the card and everything. And it hasn't shown up. So it's like, if you go to fact check his and it doesn't show up, and he's definitely vaccinated.
What a clusterfuck.
You know, so that's some extra bullshit right there. So, you know, who knows how many people have that issue. And then, like,
Jesus.
Trying to say that I didn't get vaccinated when I did, and then, like, I mean, it's just, the whole thing is really, really, like you said, a clusterfuck.
I want it back to normal, too, but it's definitely...
So just, you're kind of bringing me down. Let's talk about something that's not so scary and sad.
Well, it's fucked up, man. I just think that they got to figure out a different plan here, a different way to make this happen. Like you said before, a different way to attack this. I think putting restaurants in charge of doing this is a terrible idea, is my point. Listen, I've been spending some time working at a restaurant this summer once a week, and I'm telling you, it's a terrible idea to put anyone there in charge of that.
But what's your answer?
My answer is the state provides someone to do it. The state provides an accurate database with the proper equipment to do that, to find it, and not just expect... You know, restaurants have to deal with that. If they are going to mandate that, then they need to be able to make sure it happens. Not just say, "Hey, we're doing this."
They're trying to use that green, the New York whatever pass. Yeah,
but
what it's called,
I don't live in New York, so I'm going to show up from Connecticut.
Well, we started this by New York State restaurants.
But listen, I'm going to show up from Connecticut because I work in New York City 3 days a week. I'm going to go to New York City, and Connecticut's not far away. It's an hour drive. Yeah. And my card's not going to work even though I'm vaccinated? Or is my card easily replicatable so somebody else can just have one?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a mess, and I think there's a lot of questions there. And I think that it's not going to be easy for people. Listen, I am full on down for everyone being vaccinated. I want that, right? But it's just fucked up that... I don't know. I don't know the answer, Jeffy, and I don't have a problem showing a card. I don't personally have a problem doing that. What I have a problem with is the fact that it's just not very well thought out. It's just like, we'll just check these vaccine cards everywhere we go. Okay, great. But that's not as... And then what, if they fuck it up, you're going to fine the restaurant? Come on, stop it.
Oh, man.
So just some quick research. They're actually they fined two Americans trying to travel through Canada with fake vaccination cards $16,000.
Yeah.
This one says $250.
Damn.
But that's Canadian, so that's only like $8 American.
Yeah, but still. But so finding the people, so over high fines on the individuals who are trying to put it. I think if somebody gives a fake vaccination card to a restaurant and the fucking government comes in, is the government gonna swoop in and be like, "Oh, this is the fake card, we got you now"? Like, I mean, who's come? They're struggling with getting a health inspector in to check the fucking shit. So I don't know how much they're really gonna be on top of making sure every single card that's shown to everybody is real or not. And if it's not, I can't imagine that they're gonna put it on the restaurant. That's just fucked up. Like, that's just. terrible idea. Like, why would you do that? That doesn't, and trying to enforce it even just trying to enforce it, like I'd imagine it have to be somebody snitching on you in order for them to even know about it. Somebody has to call in, some douchebag has to be like, they're not taking vaccination cards, or, you know, they only check 3 out of the 4 people or some stupid bullshit, because right. people are assholes. But, you know,
our friend Stratus over at the Brooklyn Chop House and Brooklyn Dumpling Shop, he's kind of losing his mind on social media about this, and he's like, please come over here and arrest me. I dare you. I'm not doing that.
Yo, I believe him too.
You know that motherfucker, he is ready to fight in a heartbeat. He'll win.
Good for him.
I don't know. Mm. Well, bottom line is this. It's going to be a changing world, but at least places are still open. That's all I care about. What about you, Jeff?
I just hope.
Like, I'm with you 100%. I just want it to be over.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I want it to be over because I want to start seeing live music again. What about you?
Fuck yeah, dude. Live music, dancing with people, not being afraid to do such. You know, I love that. I love that. I love it, and I miss it so much.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for it. It seems like we're slowly heading back that direction. Tonight, in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our good friend Benny Bassett. He's going to tell us about himself, what he's been up to. He's got a new song out. We're very excited. It's called Tired of the Dark. And he's back to touring some too, Jeffy, which is pretty cool. Playing shows.
Sick.
I'm excited to talk to him about it. We're going to take a quick little breather here, and then we come back. We're going to play Benny's brand new song, then he'll join us here in the program and talk a little bit about it. You listen to Plum Love Foods Live. Chef Plum, Chef Dan, Chef Jeff. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like 3 of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
Yo-ho, Liam, it's your boy Chef Plum.
I don't know who you are.
What? We had somebody call out, so your daughter has to close tonight.
I don't know what you want.
Oh, your daughter has to close tonight.
If you're looking for a ransom.
What?
I can tell you I don't have money.
What? Dude.
But I do have. A very particular set of skills.
Yeah, I know.
Skills I've acquired over a very long
time. You smoking career. Funny cigarettes again?
Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
What are you, a health inspector?
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it.
Oh, your daughter has to close tonight.
I will not look for you. I will not pursue you.
What?
But if you don't...
Bro, she has to close...
I will look for you. I will find you.
You know where I am.
And I will kill you.
Bro, why are you always tripping? Everyone has to close sometimes. I just want to let you know that Plum Love Foods is live on Thursdays on Spreaker. Damn!
Thank you. Sick of marking time by everyone I've lost. Starting to feel like love is lost. Another day with a broken.
Coming back live, Plum Love Foods Live. That was Benny Bassett, Tired of the Dark, the brand new single. What a great song, man. I actually really dig that. I've only heard it about four times tonight, and that's maybe the fifth time. I really dig that song, Jeffy.
Absolutely. It's a great song. It's a great song.
Yeah, I feel like it's very appropriate right now. I think we're all kind of there, aren't we?
I agree.
100%. Joining us now here on the program, one of the best traveling musicians that I know. This guy is fantastic. You guys are in for a real treat. Benny has traveled hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles, playing shows all across the country, East Coast, West Coast, down south, up in the Northwest. This guy is doing it all. His music is phenomenal. His voice is infectious. We're really excited to have him here joining us on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one, the only, Benny Bassett. There he is.
Woo!
Yeah! Yeah! Benny!
What's going on? What's going on?
Attaboy, brother. What's going on?
Is that Ric Flair in your intro, by the way?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
we went from Ric Flair to some semi-political talk to like this song that just sounds like, I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
I was like, oh no, don't bring it down more.
No, but it was awesome. Listen, this is the good part about this program.
I'm glad you guys are into it.
We're all over the board. It's fine. That's what we do. For some reason, people like it. It's like ADD podcasting.
So good. The cool part about that you picked that song is that it really has a story to it, whereas some songs don't come that way. So it's a nice choice.
Fantastic song. That's a new single, right?
Yeah. It was originally about a few days out from about 2 years ago, I lost my grandma, and we were supposed to have a celebration of life type thing in March, right before the shutdown. And like a few days before we were supposed to have this thing, or maybe a couple weeks before, my aunt wrote and said, hey, would you write a song for it?
Right.
And I was like, yeah, because you pop out meaningful songs like that, you know, like no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shutdown happened. I was actually in California on my way there when all that happened, you know, and ended up that I feel like that, like you guys said, that song ended up taking on a whole new meaning for folks that were in their homes, stuck in bad spaces and head spaces and all that, and ending on this note where, you know, we'll all get it back together and we'll get through it in air quotes, together, but we'll get through it, you know, like that ending on a hopeful note meant a lot in that moment about her, but also in this moment for everyone else, because I had no intention of really releasing it. And I was just kind of recorded it so that people could hear what I'd written for that event that never happened until months and months later. So It took on a life of its own.
It's a beautiful song. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I've only heard it four or five times. I have several of your songs in my rotation, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But when I listen to that song, I'm going to be a little preachy for a second, but it brings me back to a quote that I heard not too long ago when I was in the middle of the pandemic and just kind of trying to get through it. And I'm lucky, man. I have a wife and three kids. Like, we had a great life. It's you know, if I'm going to be in the middle of a pandemic, that's the people I want to be with at my house. You know, it was great, but that song takes me back to this quote that I heard, and it goes like this. It says, "We've all had terrible days and bad days that we had never thought we'd make it through. Like, how are we going to finish this day off? But even when you have those days, you are undefeated when it comes to those days. If you're still here right now, you are undefeated on every bad day you've ever had. Just remember that when you have bad days or when your things seem too hard." For some reason, that song made me think of that.
That's badass.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think that's right on point, man. And I was struggling with that in that time, and sometimes writing music is, and that's why I didn't release it, because for me it was just kind of my own way of dealing with loss, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I absolutely feel that way. I mean, I was here with Amanda and her brother that lives with us, and I feel the same way. Like, I was very lucky. Amanda and I never get to spend that much time together because I'm always on the road. And so my mom would even call and be like, "You guys still love each other?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, like, it's better now to spend more time together."
Right.
You know, like, yeah. Plus, you know, I don't know if you guys are like this, but I'm one of those people that, like, I got to constantly be, like, learning something new or doing something new. And so while I was home, I was trying to learn. I went to school all over again, like, to learn to engineer and build a little home studio and kind of learn a new skill. And yeah, so that was one of the first things I really did with some new equipment and stuff. And so it's not perfect, but it was definitely how I was feeling at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think, dude, I got a radio show on NPR during the pandemic. How the fuck does that happen? But I did. it's kind of crazy. But yeah, you're right, man.
Totally.
I think that's what happens. You have to kind of find out what motivates you and move forward and check it out. Hey, Dan, we haven't even... I wanted to, before we got talking to Benny, I wanted to give his shout-outs and give his plugs out there before we got talking. Where can people find out more information on Benny and check out some of the music?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. You can absolutely find the amazing Benny Bassett at bennybassett.com/home. You can find him on IG, Benny_Bassett, or on Facebook, Benny Bassett Music. And go check him out. He's doing big things. Touring out there. He might be by you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll see you, our friends at Con Artists. So hopefully bring you back to Connecticut here soon. I want to come see you.
I'm supposed to be there. Yeah.
Well, when?
That's
how soon?
Right now. Sometime in October, first week or so of October, I think.
Yeah, dude, count me in. We'll be there. It'll be awesome. They're great people.
I'll either be there or at Woodbury, like a little brewing company down there in Woodbury. So I'll be there.
That's awesome. Count me in. I'll be there for sure. So, brother, I want to ask you, how's it felt to be, you know, back playing shows again after all this? Are you nervous at all? Do you feel like a little sketchy about being around stuff? How's that been?
Man, it's such a, like, everything these days is every question feels like you're answering for a million questions. You know what I mean? So I guess. It's double-edged. One, I feel, and I said this while I was on the tour, I said, you know, like, I feel very fortunate to do something that brings people together.
Right.
And when I play music, people kind of forget about, you know, whatever, wherever, you know, politically they stand, wherever, whatever's out there in their world, they come to see music to kind of get away from it. So I feel very fortunate in that respect. At the same time, I'm very aware of where I am, you know, how it's like kind of learning all over again to kind of be around people. And then there's always going to be people don't, you know, give you your space, or people that, you know, it's just like, it's a one of each, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and also I just kind of had, people are angry, you know, it doesn't matter what political party, people are just kind of tense and on edge and angry and
they are,
a lot
going
on. Yeah, man, it's a, I don't want to call it a scary time, but it's just kind of like it's a weird time. Up. Yeah, and it's and so I don't know. When I was heading out, I usually am very excited and stoked because it's what I do. It's what I love to do, and I think I had a little trepidation.
Yeah,
which I've never felt before.
Wow.
And one of my first shows was in San Francisco, and I played this right outside of Ghirardelli Square there in San Francisco, and I. My mom was with me. We were like making a little trip of it. We were going to a Giants game. Shout out San Francisco Giants.
There you go.
But you know, but I don't think we're going to be in first much longer, so might as well just throw it out. My car window got bashed in.
No.
And so I just started thinking to myself, like, did I do this to myself? You know, I'm a big believer that you're like what you think about, you bring about, right? So if you're mentally in a bad spot, sometimes you're more susceptible to bad things. Not that you know what I mean, but no, just like you. Where you are. Yeah. And so I decided right then and there, my mom was so upset and freaking out. And I just said, you know what? It's all good. You know, like I'm in a spot where I'm lucky enough to be able to take care of this and have insurance or whatever, you know, like it's all good, mom. Like they didn't take anything. I was on stage, so all my gear is with me, you know, like, so I just, in that moment at the very beginning of the tour, I just said, I got to let all that go. And I got to just go do my thing and do what I do and perform and make people bring some joy to people. Cause if I'm tentative, I'll be tentative on stage. And I hate that. And so I was lucky, unfortunate and also fortunate to start the tour that way where I could kind of put my foot in the ground and change my attitude.
Well, man, I got to be honest with you. That's fucking incredible, and that's the mentality you should have. And I love the positive take on something like that when it happens. And, you know, I think more people should think like that. But it's pretty incredible. You could be on doing a show with your mom on, you know, in San Francisco, have that happen, and still keep that mentality of it. Do you think it was random, or was it like a target? There's Benny's window. Let's break it. What do you think?
I'm sure it's because I have a sticker on the back of my car. Someone Google me. No, I'm just kidding. You know what the truth is?
Ringing bells.
Yeah, right. Like within the next few days, there was an article. I don't know if it was front page or whatever, but it's a really terrible problem in San Francisco. And something like tens of thousands over the course of a month, windows are being broken. And you'll see people put like notes in their car and open their glove box and open their console and say, look, I've got nothing in here. Like, it's really crazy. And I read, they talked about this article where they're going to just start a fund in the city. And this stuff makes me crazy. Like, I am, you know, I lean left and blue and all that good stuff. I don't claim a party, but like generally. And so I can see a lot of the stuff. This stuff is wild. Like, they're going to just start a fund where they're just going to pay for people's windows.
Like, fuck trying to like stop trying the problem. Let's just, yeah, that's
fucked up. Exactly. That stuff drives me crazy. So it's definitely is it endemic? Is that the word I'm looking for? It's a problem there.
Yeah. Damn, man. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. I wish it didn't. That's terrible.
No, I don't think it was a target.
Yeah, just random.
I just, you know, a car that I'm during the pandemic, my old car was hitting almost 450,000 miles. So I got something that's newer.
Wow.
It was clean, newer. Maybe it just like I said, people are angry, man. You just never know. But like, they didn't take anything, so that leads me to believe it's just kind of like it's the new like joyriding on the weekend. I don't know.
That's so bullshit, man. Thankfully, you had no gear in the car, right?
It's like a homeless gang. There's a homeless gang, and they're all walking around, and like to get in the gang, they're like, break a window, and you're like, what? And they're like, no, break a window.
Wait,
it's got to be a nice window.
Jeffy, I'm curious. What does the homeless people break the window with?
A little piece of porcelain that gets passed down from generation to generation from another homeless man. They carry, like, Rolsch caps or something. They're like, this is how you always get out of the car. It's porcelain. And then they smash the window. Something like that.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
I pictured a cat.
Porcelain cat?
Porcelain cat. I like
or
that.
Like an actual cat. That'd be weird.
Hey, Benny, I wanted to ask you this, too. I was actually listening to some of your music while I was working this afternoon. And actually, I was driving this afternoon. I have you on several playlists. And Every time I hear a female voice, I always wonder, is that his girlfriend? Is that his girlfriend? Like, has she sang on a bunch of your tracks, or is the relationship still too new for that?
Oh, no, no. We've been almost 4 years now, so it's not too new for that. But well, we should give her a little shout-out, too, because she also sings and writes. So she had one of the first songs I produced in the new studio was one of her songs.
Ooh.
So Amanda K. in camp. You can check it out.
Well, we should check that out. What are we doing? Why are we talking to you?
I know. Well, maybe next time, right? She's just laughing at you right now.
Well, is it time to tell her why you're actually on the show? Are you ready to do this right now to her, right now to Amanda?
Sure.
She's not sure.
I mean, we talked about the whole reason for this was so you could finally ask her that question.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to jump onto the podcast? Is that the question? Is that it?
I'm just fucking with you.
That's the one you meant, right?
That was exactly the one. That was it. That was it.
Yeah. What could be a better question than that?
Hi, Amanda.
Plum Love Foods Live. Come on.
I mean, you want to do it? Let's do this. but she sang on a bunch, huh?
Yeah, she sings on this Live Where You Love the Sky. It's a song we wrote together. And then there's another one in there that was a young lady from Nashville who is now under a pseudonym and changed it multiple times. So I can't shout her out, unfortunately.
Fuck.
but that's Nashville for you. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. It's just I can't help.
Pseudonym? Is that like another name or like
name,
a couple
Jeff.
Letters?
Yeah. No. Pseudonym. That's an acronym. Pseudonym is like
acronym.
A fake.
Oh, okay. Just making sure she's not like, DMX or like
right.
PLA.
Yeah, well, like my given name is not Chef Plum.
Oh, what?
Mm. It's true. Yeah, it's not Chef Plum. It's not my given name.
No, we do that, Christopher.
Don't. Oh, my. Right. Don't.
No. Jesus.
Now I feel like I barely.
Everything's changed.
Everything's a lie.
No,
I know.
It's real.
And it's perfect. You ruined the night, dude.
Well, Benny, every time I hear you play and I think about how fucking nice of a guy you are and how fun you are to hang out with and talk to, you know, not in person because we haven't yet, but we will this October. But just, you've hung out on the shows with us and played music, and you're just a great guy. I've always wondered, man, why can't we get you on America's Got Talent? Are you against that, or what's the story there?
So a long time ago, they had like an age limit on American Idol. So the last year of my eligibility, I was like, I'm going to go try. And the truth is, like, I get this question a lot from people. Why aren't you on the radio? Why aren't you doing this? Why don't you try it for that? And I happen to really love where I'm at right now and that I can make my own schedule and it's my own business and I, make enough to make a living and live comfortably. And would that be cool? Yes, I have friends that have done – I have a friend that's on America's Got Talent right now. At least I think she's still on, Sarah Potenza.
Ooh.
Beautiful voice. She's awesome. And then I had a friend who was the runner-up on season 2 of The Voice. His name is Tony Luca. He sings on one of my songs. He was in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Out of here.
No, for real. He was, like, singing right now. There's all these videos of him singing with, like, Ryan Reynolds and – or not Ryan Reynolds – Okay, that would be amazing, though.
Sounds incredible.
Because I saw him today singing like O Town or something. I don't know what the hell.
Jesus.
What's his? Now I'm gonna forget all that. But Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera is on there. JC Chazay. Shout out to Backstreet Boys. All those guys are on there. So anyway, I don't know why I just shouted them out, but I did.
Because you should.
So I've heard
right
all
now.
These. But I've heard, kind of the stories of how that goes, and I look at where they're at now, and I, they had like this moment where they were doing this and that, but they kind of went back into doing their thing because what they loved is what they were doing before, but they really just wanted to expand it, right? That's what the thought was into doing the show, because ultimately it's a machine, and there's a new one the next year, or the next fall or whatever, and so. You go on tour, you do that thing for a hot minute, and you get that exposure, but the next season starts, and you're kind of back where you were, except now ABC or whoever owns your music for a while.
Well, that's that's a great point right there. I mean, you're gonna get that national exposure. My friend Storm Large is actually doing it right now. I met her with my friend Ryan Starr they both did a show called, what the hell was that show called? Rockstar NXS, I think, or something.
Yeah,
Rockstar Supernova.
My buddy was a runner-up on that show.
Which one?
Marty Casey.
Oh, yeah. Dude, his version, his song about the trees was awesome.
Yeah, we've played a bunch of shows with Marty and his band in Chicago called Love Hammers.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very familiar.
Love Hammers. I love that name.
Fucking good band. Check them out. They're on Spotify and Apple Music.
Yeah, they're totally. They opened for L.A. Guns for a long time. Or he sang with L.A. Guns, something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's been around a while. He's a very talented dude.
Hell of a singer.
But yeah, he would come and we did like the Social Distortion version of Ring of Fire, and he would always come on stage and sing it with us when we opened for him.
That's awesome. You know, it's one of those things where you look at these guys like, you know, my friend Ryan and Storm. Storm is now, from that show, she's been doing a lot of other shows. She has this amazing voice. She's like this 50-year-old woman who is just beautiful. And she said, fuck it, one more try, why not, and did America's Got Talent, and is killing it on there right now. Have you seen her?
I have not. Well, I've been on tour, so I haven't seen a lot of TV. But no, I haven't.
Oh, my God.
That's the other thing. I feel like I kind of live in that. So when I'm on the road, I often have people I play with or people I open with, or I'll go see other people at open mics or whatever, whatever. And I'm just astounded. There's so many talented people doing all sorts of crazy stuff in the world right now. So I'm happy to kind of have my slice of it. And I'm, you know, making new music. And I've never been, I've always just kind of been a one man band. I don't have management or anyone. But what I did, I'm like, I was telling Amanda on this trip, I'm like, I think I'm going to start a podcast because, you know, people want to hear about what it's like on the road or what my, you know, some crazy stories I have.
Yes.
For sure.
But if anything, for me, it was like, I need a diary, right? Like, I can't write because I'm constantly driving. So if I could have some way to kind of mark time and say, you know, so you want to be a rock star kind of thing, even though, you know, it's a subjective thing, but it'd just be a good way to kind of show people what it's really about. We have friends here, like musicians, local musicians here in New Mexico. They're always like, oh, Benny's on the road, blah, blah, blah. They'll talk to Amanda, manager of the coffee shop here. Another shout out, Plata Coffee in Albuquerque. Oh, yeah. So when you were talking about people doing masks earlier, I was like, oh, man, we've had lots of talks about that. holy shit. So anyway,
I've got the name of your podcast for you. I got it for you.
Okay. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I want to hear it. Write it down. And then copyright it. They're always like asking Amanda, oh, where's Benny now? What's he up to? And she's like, probably camping in the back of his car. And I'm like, damn it. So sell me harder than that. Say I'm, you know, at a 4-star hotel or something, babe. Come on.
Jesus.
But, you know, it's not always glamorous. And it's, you know, but you do, when you, like I was saying earlier, when you find something that you love, you make it happen. You know?
Yeah.
So. That's how it's
all relative, too. I mean, listen, I'm telling you right now, I think if you did that show, you'd fucking crush it. They would love you on that show. But the tricky part is they do start owning part of your shit, and that part sucks. I was asked to do Food Network Starry a couple years ago, which is basically American Idol Food Network.
Yeah.
You ever seen the show?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had to turn it down because I was hosting a national TV show at the time. Long story short. They were not happy about that, but the what you win is very minimal, and you basically have to ask them to take a piss for the next 6 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's what you win. Yeah.
Nope.
I mean, because there's no money involved.
No,
I mean,
it was $15,000 basically is what they said. They guarantee you an hour special or 6 half-hour episodes of a show they'll make for you that they're going to pay you like $2,000 for each episode. Which that's a lot of money. It sounds great. But there's no guarantee of that, and you're not the only one who gets that. People get pieces of that.
Yeah, of course. That's wild. Well, anyway, back multiple times to the American Idol thing. I went up to Milwaukee, and I tried out, and it was the weirdest. You know, like you sat, there were like these partitions, 15 of them or so, in the middle of the basketball court. And you sat in front of three producers. I'll use air quote on producers because that could be anybody. It could be a 16-year-old kid up to whoever, you know?
You're right.
And you got like 10 seconds to sing something. And I'm sitting with, you know, four other people. I think it was five of us, could have been four just total. And everyone gets 10 seconds and then everyone goes goodbye. And in the like hour that I was there and watched, you know, people trying out and watched people, the only guy I watched get a ticket, gold ticket or whatever to the, you know, actual taping was a guy in like a gold lamé suit with a giant toothbrush. And I was like, of course that's the guy that's going. Right. Because everyone else is like in this kind of like, maybe they're amateur, semi-professional. They probably all sound pretty good, but they don't have a shtick. And I've never, that's not my thing.
You got a shtick.
And I also wasn't even a lead singer at that point. I was the background singer, you know, piano, maybe guitar player in our band. So I wasn't even a front man at that point, and I just wanted to give it a shot. So I didn't even know the type of song you sing. And now it's like you can get a coach to get you ready for these shows, and they're going to give you the type of song you should sing or and the runs you should do. And then you need an agent that will get you – because you know how when you watch the show, some of the folks have pre-taped sessions, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like they have their story and all that, because there are people out there that will – and I've gotten several of these emails – that are just like talent folks and agents that are like, yeah, come in for this private thing. And then that's, we'll guarantee you get this, that. So it's just become like, it's not even as real as just like a super talented kid coming off the street and socks.
None of it is. It's all smoke and mirrors.
That's the world. I mean, I was just talking to a friend the other day and I was like, you know, how does anyone find the truth about anything? You just mentioned music festivals. And I went to the last day of Lollapalooza because I had never seen the Foo Fighters, and I had always been a big Nirvana.
Fuck.
The singer for the Foo Fighters looks exactly like the drummer from Nirvana. Like, they could be brothers. So I was like, I got to go see this concert.
But for a second, I'm like, he's not serious, is he?
But I
was amazed. I thought that I've always thought they looked alike.
Hold up, I got you.
Right. There it is. Perfect. Perfect. But I was seeing all this information, and my mom was writing me about all this stuff, and you know the stuff that New York has instigated about requiring vaccinations. Lala did, and they were one of the first festivals to require a negative test vaccination, and no one heard about it. And so they had like four levels of security. There were all these videos of kids running in. I'm like, yeah, that's the first level where you just show your bracelet. You know, like, don't be dumb. Then a couple of weeks later, I sat with a friend who was like, oh, I heard there were all these breakouts. And I pulled up this story. We both pulled up a story on our phone of the exact opposite thing from two reputable news sources. One said huge breakout numbers from Lollapalooza. And the other one said not a single trace of any cases.
My God.
And I was like, the world we live in. Like, this is what how we do live people in. Even have It's insane.
It's insane. It's like pro wrestling. Bro, the world is pro wrestling. That's exactly what it is. Politics is pro wrestling. It's all pro wrestling.
Yeah.
It's all. All right, listen, Benny, I got to tell you. All right, here we go. The Diary of Ben, or Benny on the Road. Oh, hang on. This is what it's going to be. Benny on the Road, Diary of a Rockstar. That's your podcast.
I like that.
Benny on the Road, Diary of a Rockstar. And then you also talk to other people who are on the road as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I think the more interesting part would be you just rambling, kind of talking about why you're on your own. Because you have a lot of time by yourself. I mean, same thing for what I do, too. Like, we're by ourselves a lot. And you just, you know, just talk.
Amanda just said that's like every phone call that she's ever had with me on the road.
There you go.
I do a lot of that. And what really creeped people out was the first couple of years I toured full time, I didn't listen to anything. So I would just drive
silently,
endless hours, and just in silence, dude.
Holy shit. Fucking weirdo. What's wrong with you?
Fucking psycho.
I don't know.
Fucking black coffee as well, filterless cigarettes.
I don't know. Like, I think it was just like I'd just gotten out of, you know, I was a lawyer for 9 years. So I'd just gotten out of this life where I was like nonstop. I'm always on call. I'm always doing someone's bidding. Like, I'm always like go in a big city. I was in Chicago, you know, city. And so I think it was like I was just taking a break, giving my mind a break. And then from the minute you show up somewhere, you're on, right? Like, so not just your performance. You're on when you meet the bar manager. You're on when you meet the club manager. You're on when you meet the host at your house, like whatever the show may be. And then you're hanging with people. And I'm not one of those folks that, like, goes and sits in the green room. That's not my – that it will never be my jam, unfortunately, for my security detail, which is Amanda. But, like, I just use that time.
Back up.
Yeah. She's been working big calves. She's been working out her legs. Always leg day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Always leg day. I love it.
Gotta teach you that. The strong, straight chest kick.
Yeah, exactly. She's into it. She's like nodding her head over here.
You guys are way too funny. All right, let's talk about music for a second, because I can't keep picturing your girlfriend kicking people in the chest now. I don't know where that came from. Thanks, Jeffy, for that.
With like really legs and tiny arms.
What did she say?
Says like a Tyrannosaurus Rex with beefy legs and tiny arms.
This is not something you want to say in public. I'm just saying, like, that's not a good thing to say.
She said that.
Dan, before I jump into this, let's get Benny's plugs up there one more time so people know where to find more info about him.
Yes, BennyBassett.com. You can catch him on there. Catch him on IG, Benny_Bassett. Or you can catch him on Facebook, Benny Bassett Music. You can also catch his girl, Amanda, Porcelain Pinata. Check her out. They doing big things. They out there. Go look them up. Listen to their music. They doing big things. It's beautiful.
That's our hype guy, Dan. Didn't know if you knew it, you could tell.
Yeah, Dan, good work. Dude. We're into it. We want to know where Dan's accent is from.
Ooh. Go ahead, Dan.
Streets of Bridgeport, Connecticut.
There you go. There you go.
Mean streets. The mean streets of Bridgeport.
I feel like I'm familiar with. I was born in upstate New York, but I didn't live there very long. But I go back a lot, so I'm always like, I feel like I know some good accent. Nope, not that one.
No, that's definitely a Bridgeport accent. Bridgeport is not a place I recommend you hang out in very often.
Where are you from, upstate New York?
My family built a house up in Hillsdale, was where the house was, in the middle of nowhere. The closest hospital is Pittsfield, so it's right across the border.
Oh, Pittsfield, I know where that is. Yeah, that's like by Rochester, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I know exactly where it is. I've lived all over up there. I was from like Ithaca area.
Okay. Yeah.
I would go back, get
that house back to family. They like pulled rocks out of the creek and took wood off of old barns. My biological dad got arrested for taking old wood. Like, oh, it's got good stories behind it.
Wow.
So awesome.
Someday. Hey.
That's an album in itself, just telling your history.
I know.
one of your songs, it's on my playlist, but what I really like of yours is Building a Future. I think it's a fantastic song. I really like the story it tells. It kind of if songs could make you feel something, Building a Future, I feel like, is a song that I would have definitely been down with my wife. We met in 1998. We've been together ever since. Like, I feel like that's a song that is kind of like for us. And I mean, you didn't write it for me, but what's interesting?
You mean when you were 14?
Yeah, that's true, wow. Jeffy. That's true. It's a long time.
Amazing.
But the song that I think is interesting about it is that the release that's on Spotify and Apple Music and all, it's almost a little poppy. Is that a weird way to put it, Benny? I mean, I don't
know. No, that's really true. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's great. But then there's a version on YouTube where it's just you and your guitar that I absolutely love, that I want to play a little bit of, if you didn't mind. Is that cool?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, that's how it was written.
This is one of my favorite songs of Benny's. It's called Building a Future. Check this out. It's just him and his acoustic guitar. This is beautiful.
I'm broken down and you're tired. No more words to defend. Chances we never took leave us alone again. Lying in our beds, things in our hands just don't. Like arrows through
I mean, this is literally one of my favorite songs of yours. I love this song so much. And then the acoustic version I found, I guess, about a month ago. And I was like, oh, my God, where has this been?
I find that's how it was written. And you can actually version, kind of semi-acoustic version of it on my website that I did at home before I'd even. Because when I write, I'm writing on piano a little bit or acoustic. For this last record, I went in studio in Virginia and recorded with these two guys that are awesome, lifelong musicians. I'm just getting to doing a lot of production work.
Your
themselves.
Phone's crapping out on us, Benny. It's hard. You keep breaking up on me a little bit there.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
There? Am I back?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Okay. Sorry. But I had, I'd gone to some guys with these songs to produce them out in Virginia. And I kind of sat down. I gave them the acoustic versions. And then I would say, here's kind of what I envision sound-wise, what instruments, all that kind of thing. And then they kind of built the instrumentation. And then we come back together and say, this is good, this is bad, let's change this, let's change that. Then I would do my guitar, vocal, and all that kind of stuff kind of as the song got built. And they said, hey, will you just trust us with this? And I said, yeah, sure. And they kind of came back with that. And I've had two songs in my career where I feel like I've written them and they could go either way, where they could be this really happy, upbeat thing, or they could also be down, not down, but kind of slower ballady songs. Right. And one was this one called Alone that I wrote about my losing my grandfather, which was a long time ago, but you still hold on to that stuff. But I liked the idea of the memories of a person being, you know, being these really happy things that you really love to remember, and then also the grief that you feel when someone's not in your life. And Building a Future was this song about like almost being there, you know, like almost being exactly where you want to be, but just something sticking, like not figuring out, not knowing what it is or what's keeping you from kind of perfection, I guess, is the short version. And so when I first wrote it kind of slow, it was this kind of like son of a whatever, you know, like I can't quite get to, and it's frustrating and I'm upset about it. And so I'm just kind of being mournful about this thing that I might not be able to stay in versus the song that they produced, which came out as like, we're going to figure it out. You know, like you're upbeat about it and you're like, we're going to figure this out together. I believe in it. You know,
that's what I get.
Right. And that version is, I like the idea of a ballad song still being that. And so in creating that up-tempo version, it changed kind of the way I feel about the song when I play it, too. So it's cool.
A little bit of a Benny Bassett deep cut, huh?
A little bit, yeah. And that was that young lady in Nashville. I wish I knew her name, but that's who's singing on the
really?
Acoustic version, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, it's really...
It's an awesome song.
It's a great tune, man.
It really is.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. And I hear that and the Pisces. I'm a Pisces, so I get emotional very easily. And I just think about my wife and us, you know, being together and kind of just taking on the world by ourselves. That's where it goes for me. But where was that?
I love that idea. And, you know, it's interesting, like what people, I often say it shows that I write a lot of different kinds of songs, like on one album, even I'll move between genres or feelings or whatever. And I love the idea of putting a record out in a room and having every single person kind of like a different song for a different reason.
Yeah.
And I know that's bad for marketing, right? Because you want to find your niche and just get it Nickelback style. But
not shit on Nickelback now. Come on.
All I said was they found their niche and they hit it. I didn't say anything bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Come on, Chad Kroger.
Take the fan quesadilla. All right.
Holy shit.
Oh, man. I mean, Avril Lavigne fell for it. All right. So anyway.
Whoa, okay. You know, hey, hang on now.
No one said he wasn't a beautiful man.
Wow.
Oh, man.
She's still super hot. By the way.
All right. So, anyway.
You know he drives a Trans Am.
Is it weird that I still fall for girls who put a lot of eye makeup on? Like, I still find that really hot. Like the goth eye makeup, or the almost trying too hard to be goth eye makeup.
Oh, yeah. Where, like, your whole forehead is in black eyeshadow.
Yeah, I love it. I'm like, that's great. Clearly, she has some issues and likes four non-blondes.
Well, it's also sounds like the time period where you came up. That was a look.
Yeah, Benny, I'm 6'3". I had hair down to my ass, and I used to wear eye makeup. And instead of playing football, I joined show choir because there was more girls in there.
We only had one girl on our football team, so I understand.
No, Jesus. Yeah, no football for me. I was a theater kid in show choir. I got to travel the country or travel the state that I lived in and compete singing in co-ed dressing rooms as a teenager. It was great.
Why are you not singing to me?
All right, so I was a music theater major in college. I can sing a little bit, I guess.
That's awesome. Well, when I come out, we need to do a song together.
In Connecticut, I'll come sing with you, buddy.
That is awesome. I'm in.
I'll sing back. Mark it on the calendars right now. I'll come sing back up. If you play Building a Future, I'll sing it with you.
Oh, dang. All right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just back up.
Me and Dan will hype it. Dan can hype it together.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, I'm in.
Dan will introduce you. That's right. Everybody coming to the stage right now.
Bringing it now, Benny Bassett.
There it is. Nice. Jesus. Oh, so wait, what is your intro song then?
What is my what? Sorry, I lost you.
You have an intro song?
Like for when I come on, I mean, that's a deep question, song, brother.
I know. We're talking about if the whole world is WWE/S, then, yeah, you got to have a walk-up.
Well, I have a couple. So, believe it or not, I was a pro wrestler for real at one point in my life.
Yes.
I came out to a Seven Dust song called Alone when I was the chef character. When I got married, my intro song was Walk on the Ocean by Toad the Wet Sprocket, one of my favorite bands of all time.
That's a great song. I love that song.
Fucking great tune right there. And then when I came out as my broken chef character, I came out to My Friend of Misery by Metallica.
Yeah. Good. Like when you died? That's awesome.
Yeah, like when I became like a bad guy.
Yeah, I love it. Dude, that's so good.
I mean, hey, that's the way it goes. Dude. Jeffy's intro music, he comes out to I Can't Dance by Phil Collins.
I don't want to dance by Eddie Guyon.
Dude. Like back in the day, they used to have like 12 CDs for a dollar or whatever on DMG or Columbia House.
Oh, dude. We all fucked our credit up at Columbia House for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, my dog had a Columbia account, allegedly.
So good.
They're still sending
I like on the road, I tell people like, because often I'm playing 3 or 4 hour shows. Sometimes I'm like just picking covers out of the air. And I tell people, I'm like, don't expect to hear like a bunch of 70s or a bunch of like country or a bunch of whatever. I just jump. I'll play like Willie Nelson on the Road Again, and the next song play Regulate by Nate Dogg and Warren G. And people are like,
hell yeah.
Who is this guy? And what are we doing? I'm like, it's Columbia House, man. I can't explain it.
Fucking Columbia House. Dude, Benny, can you pick a guitar right now and play Regulate by Warren G or no?
Can I what?
Can you play Regulate by Warren G right now on your guitar? Can you do that?
I'd have to go get it. Yeah. I mean, I will.
You don't have to if you don't want to, but you kind of just piqued my interest. So I'm like, dude, that sounds fucking awesome.
Oh, there's the sound is not great, but it's on YouTube. There's a version of it on there. But,
all right. I got to find it. I got to find it on YouTube because I want to hear that shit. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. You can. Amanda's going to go grab the guitar just in case.
Are you serious?
I'm not sure how the sound quality will be. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm not worried about that. Look, here's the thing. Jeff and I talk about this all the time. Whenever we have like a musician, we don't have a lot of musicians on the show. Usually it's chefs and shit. We have people that we like. You're one of the guys. Every time we talk to you, we're like, God, that guy's fucking awesome. He's so fun to hang out with. And he's just easy. Like, you sound like one of the guys that we just be drinking beers with, right, Jeffy?
Dude, absolutely. Drinking beers and going to festivals. And I would be hanging out at the Wiener Dog with you, the Wiener Mobile.
Wiener Circle? The Wiener Circle?
What? No, he was that. Have you ever seen his Instagram?
Oh,
he was
He had
the Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile.
Oh, my God. That was crazy.
Oh, dude.
I thought you were talking
Did
about
you get to go inside?
No, because I was playing and, like, running all over the place. I didn't even realize that was, like, an option.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I just assumed that's where they lived or something. Because they're like Oscar Mayer fairy. Like, they just, like, wear all the stuff. They have, like, their own branded Instagram accounts. They have their own names. So it was, like, Nacho Dog Nate and Kielbasa Cali. Like, I was like, dang, man. They really buying all the way into this thing.
This is amazing.
So I was both in awe and kind of scared a little bit, but I took photos and, you know, like I let him come on stage. They made this announcement and then they left me this like metal like street sign that said reserve parking for the Wienermobile and then wrote this really sweet note on the back because they were like, not every musician's super nice. And I was like, oh, dang, what has happened to you guys in your life?
That's
felt
terrible.
I was like, yeah,
but not everybody was really nice to the Wiener people. Some people are dicks.
Sure.
Hey, shout out to Wieners, huh? Shout out to Wieners.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's right.
Well, and I played their theme song, so you know.
Dude, you're fucking you're a champion.
C-A-R.
Yeah, I gave him.
Has a second name.
Well, you had, and I didn't even know it was going to be there. So this is this beautiful winery in South Dakota. You heard me, winery.
There's no wine in South Dakota. Sorry, Benny, the chef and me. Dude. There's no wine in South Dakota.
I didn't think so either, but they have a whole – I thought maybe they were buying the grapes and bringing them in, but they have a bunch of plants out there.
So they make, like, wine coolers?
No. Well, they do make, like, slushies, but they make actual, like – I guess it's frosé, whatever it's called. They
Let
make,
me ask
no,
you
they
this.
Make
this winery you went to, were they selling things by the 40 ounces?
That's in L.A. I don't.
Because that might have been a winery, Jeffrey. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a thing. Did you find it? You want me to play it?
Oh, Jesus. We moved on. I wasn't even thinking. I was. Here's the thing.
Never mind. Move along. No, sure.
It's.
No, we want you to play it.
I want you to play it, but as a chef, like, I know when I go to my friend's house, I'm like, chef, can you cook this for us? I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. But, like... Of course, you know. So I always feel bad when I have a musician on. I'm like, hey, will you play for us?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to make you guys happy, you know?
You're doing a great thing.
Just
you have to do
your
like
voice.
You don't have to do the 45-minute version. Maybe do like the 10-minute version.
Yeah.
Dude, can you do the 23 version of November Rain, though?
Ooh. Yeah, I will do that all day.
All right, so this
you hear the
Warren
guitar
G
right?
Regulate. Here we go.
Can you hear the guitar all right?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound terrible.
All right. Woo! It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the scene, trying to consume the skirt for the keys. So I can get my phone, chillin' on my ride, chillin' all alone. Hit the east side, the LBC, mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Call for the girls, ain't no need to freak, call your skirts, know what's up with 213. Look to left, on 21 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. So I hopped out my ride, I said, what's up? Some brothers put some gas, so I said, I'm stuck. Girls peeping me, I'm a glider swerve. Looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Bigger things and some horny tricks. See my homie and some suckers all in his mix. That was for you.
I'm getting jacked.
Look, right now, I want you to know Dan is sitting at home right now touching himself. He's like, that was my shit. You didn't even know.
Well, good. I'm glad, Dan. I'm glad I could help out.
Oh, my God. That was awesome. Dude, is that part of the show? Or that's fucking awesome.
So I play all over the place, right? And I, like, you know, from, like, Montana, Alabama, to Maine, to, you know, like, well, everywhere.
Oh, Alabama so loves Warren G.
That's what I was going to say. You never freaking know, dude. One of my favorite stories I've told of all time is, like, the very first time I played in Montana, Butte, Montana, it's like big, big mining town. There's just a gigantic, you know, mine and whatever there. And I'm like, what am I? I'm just going to play all country, like, because I don't, who knows? But no one's, you know, when sometimes you're just in the background or whatever, you just don't know. And some people are feeling it. Some are not. Some are giving you the golf clap. And I always make jokes. I try to, I like pick one guy in the room that I'm going to make him pay attention at some point. It's always a dude. Like, you know, because he's like trying to be like, I'm not into this kind of thing.
Right, right.
How can I, what can I play to get this guy's attention? So anyway, I kind of get through my set. I do this whole thing and I watch this guy, he comes out and he's in like full hunting, like he is Montana. He's like full hunting gear, orange vest, camo, a whole thing. And he comes out in the middle of the room, he goes, hey, this guy is playing his ass off and none of you are clapping for him. And he like gets in this big power stand, starts clapping over his head, like loud, crazy clap. And everyone in the room is like, all right, we don't know what is going on, but we're going to clap because this guy could be losing it. He could be having his break right now. And best part is I play like a few more songs. The show's over and the guy comes up and he's like, man, I just, you know, I just wanted to say thanks. And I was like, cool. Thanks for doing that. Like, I don't even know why you felt compelled. And he goes, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really like anything you were playing. But I appreciated how hard you were working. And I said, dude, well, you should have told me what you wanted to hear. Like, what are you into? And he just goes, Pantera.
Do you do an acoustic version of like, Cowboys from Hell?
For you right there, daddy.
Man, that would have been a rough acoustic cover, but maybe next time, brother. Like, I didn't.
you got to learn Cemetery Gates.
And now here's Benny Bassett playing the acoustic version of I'm Broken by Pantera.
But I have so many stories like that, dude. But I never try to guess anymore, and I just kind of play. Usually, if it's an unknown quantity of audience or like I don't know, I just kind of play a song from this genre, that genre, and then see what people are into, and kind of go down that road for a while. And then I'll be like, all right, well, I'm all out of Creedence songs, so here's Nate Dogg and Warren G. Let's see where this goes.
You know? That's awesome. Let me ask you, man, just as a person who played in bands growing up and play guitar a little bit still, how do you get to where you play a Warren G? Like, how do you play Warren G and say, all right, let me figure this out on acoustic guitar? Where do you find the chords?
Okay, so I have, I use Ultimate Guitar, the app. And it has a little bit of everything. I knew all the words, but Ultimate Guitar will give you chords and lyrics at the same time, and it will auto-scroll for you. You can transpose the key. You can do all sorts of stuff like that. Awesome. But I was in Medford, Oregon. I had never played there before at this tiny bar. It was like the people working there and these two dudes who looked like they were, you know, like they had some rough times that night. And kind of camping out in the corner, and I was just playing my set, doing my thing. Like, and these guys were like, play some Regulate. And I was like, what? And I said, and this happens a lot, because I'll tell people at the beginning of shows, like, I'll take requests, but not really. You know, like, I'll make a couple jokes about it.
Right.
Because sometimes people get good ones. So I said, you know, I'm not sure I could really pull that off acoustic. I said, but at this next break, I'll go outside and kind of see if I can work through it.
And was your third question, what year is this? Jesus.
Right.
I mean, what is that, 92?
Right. I think it's a little later than that. I think it's more like 96, 97, but
Stop it. No way. I got to look it up now. No way.
No, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, so I went outside, and I've done it before. I've also done it, and it's gone horribly, right? Like, you know, someone's like, I can't remember. Oh. They were like, do Picture, the song with Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow. And I got in the middle of the song and I started singing the Sheryl Crow part. And I was like, I can't sing that high.
Yeah. Jesus.
And so I just stopped. And I was like, all right, well, we got partway through it.
94,
but no, I
by the way. 94.
It. Ooh, we both win. Yeah. All right.
We're winners.
Well, and so I just like, it's a hit or miss. And I like to like give it a shot if I know it. And I love 90s R&B. And so I would love to play a bunch more. And the next one I tried when it started going really well was like Gin and Juice. But when I played Juice, it sounds like Jason Mraz covering Snoop Dogg. It's very odd.
That's pretty awesome.
Because it's kind of a bouncy song, and then all of a sudden you're in a whole new thing. And I was like, oh, man. But
you
people are into
Every Little Step by Bobby Brown.
Dude, are you serious right now?
Yeah, I fucking love Bobby Brown. Are you kidding me?
That was my that So I had three tapes when I was really young, and my three favorite tapes that I listened to over and over, like till it exploded, was Bobby Brown, Billy Joel, Innocent Man, and The Police, Synchronicity.
Nice.
Oh, man.
So those were my jams when I was growing up. And I know great Billy albums. Joel fans hate Man, but that's a great freaking record. I don't care.
Little Bobby Brown, there's nothing at all wrong with that. I think you should learn Every Little Step, and then, of course, On Our Own from Ghostbusters 2 would be the fantastic cover song.
No, I just want to play Roni right to Amanda so she's like, is like, what's wrong with you?
I love it. Dan, throw the plugs out there for Benny one more time before we get him out of here.
Absolutely. Benny Bassett, catch him at BennyBassett.com. Actually, I was looking through the store. He got some dope merch on there, too. He got some t-shirts. He got some hats. Okay. He got some specials on some holiday shit. You can get it early. You can also check him out.
Holiday?
Some holiday shit. Come drop me shit. Christmas around the corner, goddammit. He got a special on this giant, beautiful, furry blanket. I'm like, why not? Shit, it's never too late to grab a furry blanket. Fuck that.
That's true. Fair enough.
BennyBassett.com/store. Check it out. You can check him on his IG, Benny_Bassett on IG. His Facebook is Benny Bassett Music. And again, his beautiful girl, Amanda, Porcelain Pinata, check her out on IG. They doing big things.
There it is. There it is. Benny, bro, always a pleasure to hang out with you in chat for a little bit, man. Seriously, I wish you all the success in the world. Can't wait to see you in the fall up here in Connecticut. I'm in New York right now, but in Connecticut in the fall. Looking forward to it. I'll reach out to the boys. And hopefully, dude, send me a message. Let me know when you get those dates figured out. You got any Northeast dates aside from that? We're ready to go or not yet?
You know, the honest truth is, like, we didn't even get into it, but I was, like, really trying to figure out if I was even going to go back out on the road because places are just getting crazy again. So I don't know. So I'm just trying to kind of keep it to places where I kind of know the people and I can trust, you know, like DJ and con artists and, you know, folks that I'm familiar with. And, I know that they'll be vaxxed and waxed and ready to go, you know.
Hope well, make your way to Connecticut, that. One of the highest vaccination rates in the country.
There you go. Shout out Bridgeport.
Shout out to Bridgeport. Benny, you are the man, dude. Shout out to you. Shout out to your the lovely Amanda. We appreciate you guys so much taking the time to hang out with us here tonight on Plum Love Foods.
Yeah. Woo! Thank you. Man, it was great to see you, and thank you for taking the time to put me on and for folks for listening. And we always have a blast talking to you guys, so I'm happy to do it anytime.
You rock, awesome, brother. You rock, man. We appreciate you so much, and we'll see you on down the road.
Can't wait to all see right, you in Connecticut.
Stay safe.
There he goes. The one, the only Benny Bassett. One of our favorites, man. What a great dude that guy is, Jeffy.
Awesome guy. Awesome guy. Wow. Love him. And I love his music. Like, every one of his songs really means something. Like, when you hear it, it really, I connect with him. It's crazy.
Yeah, you are. That's your kind of music, too. So I know you're into it, man. I know you like driving, having the acoustic sounds going when we're driving or when we're taking a long trip. It's your thing.
I'm a Pisces as well. You know, I get a little emotional. I start thinking about my wife.
Damn, when you hear stuff like that, I know it's not your like main type of music, but you're very open-minded. What do you think when you hear that new song?
No, I love music. I love the connection that music has with the artist, with the people who listen to it. I love listening to how you kind of think about how a song evolves and it kind of grows depending on who's listening to it and as it goes on and as time kind of goes on. And right. I think it's beautiful, and hearing the kind of behind the scenes and also how he likes to hustle and go out and do these shows live, that like that's his thing. I think that's beautiful. Like, you shouldn't have to feel like you have to be this superstar. Like, you can follow your dream, be happy, loving doing what you do in small venues and having fun and connecting with people. And I think that's huge, and that's a different side to what people normally look at. They always see the razzle dazzle, but behind the scenes is like, you know, real people doing big things.
Yeah, it was a great message there for sure, no doubt about it. All right, boys, we made it through this program with no technical difficulties. I'm excited about that.
It's amazing.
Everything sounded good.
Everything sounded awesome.
Big shout out to our friend Benny Bassett for joining the program. How about the impromptu Warren G there, Dan? Not bad.
That was amazing. Above the Rim soundtrack, 94, has an unreleased track, Pain, from Tupac. Check it out. Just saying. Greatest album. One of my favorite albums, that Above the Rim album.
That was random. He didn't play any Tupac songs, but okay.
But it was on the soundtrack. That's where it came from. It came from the Above the Rim soundtrack.
Oh, the Warren G song is on the soundtrack, too. I got
you. Yeah.
Shout out Warren G. There you go. Anyway, big thanks to our friend Benny for joining the program. Benny Bass. Make sure you check him out on social media. Check out that music. He's a good brother. We really do appreciate him. Lots of music in the kitchen. All kinds of music in kitchens. And Benny Bass, it would be some music that I might have played in the kitchen at some point in time in my life. So shout out to him. We appreciate him. Big shout out to Dan. Big shout out to Jeffy. Jeffy, you got to take care of that leg, man. We're worried about you.
Oh, man. Cellulitis on my shin.
Come on. There you go. Well, take care of it. Take the time. Do what you got to do. Take care of yourself. We don't want you. Here's the good news. If you do have to get it amputated, it would be below the knee. So at least you would, you know.
Below the knee, and I could still run my beautiful mouth. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, and I think we'd get you a pretty dope, like, you know, fake leg.
Dude, I would get a bionic leg. Are you crazy?
Then what are we waiting for? Let's go.
Dude. I'm like nervous to get my first bionic leg. You know what I mean? I want to get one that makes me stronger.
Quick question for you, Jeffy. Is Randy pissed at us because we haven't called him in like 2 weeks?
No, I don't think so. I think the last time I called him, he was, you know, on vacation, living his best life.
All right. Well, we'll get back to him. For Chef Jeffy.
I don't know why he loves us. I love Randy.
For Chef Dan, I'm your boy, Chef Plum. Big shout out to our friend Benny Bassett for joining the program tonight. We appreciate him so much. Make sure you check him out on social media. In the meantime and in between time, friends, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week right here on Plum Up Foods Live.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.